We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Round one of the NFL draft is in the books, and Will and Jarvis have all the details on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And a pleasant good evening to you and yours, and welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's coverage of the NFL draft. 2020, the virtual edition, almost in the books, 23 picks in, and a couple more to go. The Falcons pick is in, and we have plenty of reaction for you here tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Polonchek, Willie P in the building alongside Jarvis Davis from the Mobile Kia Studios, and our NFL draft coverage continuing to be brought to you by the folks at Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL season. And as we look at this pick in a vacuum, guys, I want to at least put this into perspective when you think about what the Falcons did today. Number one, they filled the need. Number two, they got a guy of local import who you can be very easily sellable to this fan base. But when you obviously look at the other things in this draft, Jarvis, the real issue for me is whether or not you have the ability to look at this for what the Falcons got as opposed to what they didn't get. And I think that's the part of it that people are looking at and saying, oh my goodness, that's a particular situation where you look at that and you say the Falcons and their brass kind of have some explaining to do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because when you think about all the talk of, you know, having somebody next to Grady Jarrett, having somebody that can push that pocket up the middle. All of those things added up to a guy like Javon Kinlaw. And when you have him available two picks before you actually pick, it's like, okay, did they really want him? That's what I'm starting to question. I'm starting to think like, okay, did the Falcons really want him, or did everybody on the outside looking in just saying, okay, the Falcons need Kinlaw, the Falcons want to get Kinlaw? But once again, the Falcons did it to us again. Everybody was all hot and heavy on the guy, and it looks like they were about to get him, because I said that if Kinlaw falls outside of the top 10, you go up there and get him, because I think him paired with Grady Jarrett would have been a great pairing. But obviously, the Falcons feel a need with A.J. Terrell. He's a guy that has that size, just like Dan Quinn likes, and we shall see if this is going to be a good pick. We're going to take a look back and say, okay, did Kyle Shanahan stick it to the Falcons again?
It's a guy who's from the town, Jarvis, and I think that's one thing. If you look at this draft and you look at the way that fans are going to look at this, they're going to look at this as the draft that they didn't get Javon Kinlaw, but they could look at it as the draft where they remade their secondary in a division that has remade its quarterback lineup. You obviously know what happened with Tampa Bay getting Tom Brady in the offseason. You know what happened with Carolina getting rid of Cam Newton, bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. And, of course, everybody here knows about what Drew Brees can bring to the table. There have been some people who thought that the Falcons would try to build or rebuild their defense from front to back. Obviously, the signing of Dante Fowler reasons that. I'm still kind of stunned, though, that for as many calls as the Falcons seem to make, and Ian Rappaport seemed to at least indicate when he put his latest report on Twitter that no one seemed to be calling teams more than the Atlanta Falcons, This is kind of one where I look at this and I say, the Falcons tried, but they just could not find a dancing partner.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny that you said it because, like you said, all of the just, I called it a lot of smoke screen because that was thrown out there and it just seemed like, especially like the Jay Glazer report, oh, the Falcons tried to jump up and get into that number two slot. Yeah, and I tried to holler at J-Lo when I saw her on MTV back 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, okay, you can say what you tried to do, but did you really try? I think that when you look at what A.J. Terrell is and what he does for the Falcons, I think that from on paper, it looks like a good move because you have Kendall Sheffield as a guy who can bump down inside and play the nickel corner as well. I think that's why you look at this move and say, okay, you go out and get that third guy because we all know the nickel defense is the Falcons' base defense. They're between 60 to 70% of the time.
Of the 2020 draft.
We have another pick coming in here.
With
really
the 24th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select Cesar Ruiz, center, Michigan.
Cesar Ruiz, the former Michigan center, goes 24th overall to the New Orleans Saints. While we were in break, the LA Chargers went number 23 overall, and they took somebody who many thought was on the Falcons' watch list, and that is the linebacker of Oklahoma, Kenneth Murray. They got that pick from the New England Patriots, who, surprise, surprise, the New England Patriots trading down, guys. That's one, if you look at that, and you say, oh my goodness, we're not surprised by that because the Patriots have made a living trying to do that. This is one where I think this is the center of the future for the New Orleans Saints. You get somebody here maybe who can protect Drew Brees here at the end of his career. And you also look at this from the standpoint of they get a generational type lineman who obviously has a Big Ten pedigree. He's on the second tier of the guys who were kind of in that top four, Jarvis, but he's somebody who obviously has the build and looks the part.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that you have to look at and say, okay, how do we extend Drew Brees' career for as long as he wants to stay here? Let's go get somebody that can protect him up the middle because I've said this time and time again, when you look at what Tom Brady and Drew Brees don't like, what they're
I think we lost Jarvis's connection there, but we will get him back on with us. And that is obviously something that you look at with this particular pick in the fact that, you know, these teams in this division have very stout middles. You think about Carolina, you think about Tampa Bay, they have very stout middles. And you think about, obviously, Grady Jarrett with the Atlanta Falcons, very much up the middle built. I just don't know, guys, if you're the Falcons right now and you had a potential set of targets going into this draft, you probably thought Chase Young was out of reach. You probably thought C.J. Henderson at the beginning of the whole draft process could have worked out for you, could have been somebody who could have fallen back into your purview. But now it almost seems like there is a scenario now with the Falcons where it was like, look, they felt pretty comfortable with the kind of guys they had on their board. And that to me, as we almost look at this from, you know, what they didn't get versus what they did get, my whole thing is, if you're the Falcons, did you satisfy a need? Did you get yourself a starter? That was the goal for round one. I think that is absolutely the case. They did get somebody who was in need.
Yeah, I mean, they did satisfy a need. I just think now, What a lot of people are having concerns about, I got a chance to talk to Brian McFadden before I came on. And when you talk about what they're able to do with AJ Terrell, and they got a guy that they feel the need. You know, when you lose a guy like Desmond Trufant, you have to replace him in some manner. And I think that you have a guy in Isaiah Oliver that you don't feel that can fulfill that need right now. It's because you have a Kendall Sheffield, you have Isaiah Oliver, and now you have a guy in AJ Terrell. So you stick him on the outside, you push Kendall Sheffield down inside, or Do you go with a veteran like a Bleedy Ray Wilson on the other side in place of Isaiah Oliver? So those are some of the things that I started to think about as far as, okay, now how they're going to place these guys. Or is AJ Terrell a guy who you can lock in as a starter? Because a lot of guys didn't have him as that high, going that high. If you look at what the rankings of those guys at that position.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft, brought to you by the folks at Twin Peaks. Willie P, Jarvis Davis here with you. We're taking you until 2 a.m., so we'll take you here until the balance of the first round draft is over. We would love to take your thoughts on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, as I get in touch with us. Also on Twitter, at Willie P Style. Also, Jarvis is on Twitter, at JarvisD90, the radio station at 929 The Game. We have a trade. And it's a team that's traded before in this opening round, the San Francisco 49ers, who traded ceremoniously back from the number 13 spot to the 14th spot, basically swapped picks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in order to take the guy who, again, who was on many Falcons fans' wish list, and Javon Kinlaw. They have gotten back into the first round, taking the number 25 pick away from the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get the term for that deal for you here in just a moment. But how do you feel about what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done here, Jarvis, because not only do they, in the eyes of Falcon fans, feel like they've kind of slayed the dragon once again, but John Lynch continues to play chess where it seems like a lot of other people are playing checkers.
Yeah, man, when you think about it, how those guys are putting in that work, man, like, they are just the rich getting richer when I think about the 49ers. When you talk about got a guy like Joey Bosa, and you got a guy like Solomon Thomas, who they drafted in the top five not too long ago. You have all these defensive linemen. They traded away DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts, and they just essentially replaced him with Javon Kinlaw. So when you think about all those things, all these linemen, they just have a wealth of linemen.
Here comes the 49ers pick.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the 25th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 25th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah.
And the biggest thing about this pick is the wingspan of Brandon Ayuk, 81-inch wingspan. It's the longest wingspan of any player under 6 foot in combine history. He's out of Reno, Nevada, basically played his final two seasons of college football in the Pac-12 at Arizona State. Somebody who was, again, I think more of a specimen for San Francisco to play kind of inside that, maybe possibly a slot. Although you might be able to put him on the outside and take the top off the defense. This is, I think, for a lot of people, Jarvis, when you saw the Niners go back to 14, a lot of people thought they would take one of the wide receivers on the board, but now they get their wide receiver with the former Sun Devil.
You know what? I actually thought I was right there with you. I think it was going to be a run on wide receivers because, you know, the Broncos, they were definitely going wide receiver because they need wide receiver help like yesterday. So that's why I was kind of thinking in my back of my mind, I was like, okay, San Fran could go Kinlaw, but they need a wide receiver badly when you have a guy like Emmanuel Sanders lead, who had an excellent rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo. You would just think that they would go ahead and try to replace that and get Jimmy Garoppolo some weapons so he can be successful.
More reaction to the Falcons pick, and also we'll give you a full breakdown of what we've seen so far in the opening round of the NFL Draft. With Jarvis Davis, I'm Will Pelagic. You're listening to the 2020 NFL Draft on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and on the radio.com app, brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Our newest Falcons have been selected, and Will and Jarvis break it all down on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's coverage of the NFL Draft, the 2020 edition of the NFL Draft, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Willie P, Jarvis Davis here with you on the reaction portion of the proceedings. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock at number 26. Last pick was made by the San Francisco 49ers. Brandon Ayuk was a selection made, wide receiver out of Arizona State. Let's go back in time and look at what has transpired so far. The opening pick of the draft, no surprise. Cincinnati Bengal quarterback Joe Burrow, that was a quarterback that basically was the consensus number one pick from all people's concerns. Chase Young, number two to the Washington Redskins. And then Jeffrey Okuda, the cornerback at Ohio State. And then at number four, Jarvis, I think this is one where we weren't surprised by the position, but we were surprised by the selection by the Giants that Andrew Thomas is the first lineman off the board. The former Georgia Bulldog is now headed to New York.
You know what? This is the guy that I actually thought that was the best tackle in this draft, because he's the guy that I actually thought that was the best tackle in this draft, because when you take a look at it, I like to look at guys that have been consistent throughout their entire careers versus guys who may jump into the conversation of being that top guy, a guy like Mekhi Becton, you know, because the buzz wasn't really that much on him going into the combine. But when you see the athletic ability that he displayed by running the 5'1 at 364 pounds and 6'7, a big guy, but he can move. A lot of times, that film might not match up with their athletic ability, so with the measurable. So I wasn't too shocked, as you may have been, when Andrew Thomas came off the board as the first offensive tackle. So because I just really like what he brings to the table, man. Because the one thing that when you're looking at guys like Thomas is you want to see how he performs against guys who's going where he's going. And when he went up against a guy like Kalavion Chaisson, I'm talking about he was literally swallowing that guy up. It was like Chaisson didn't know what to do with Andrew Thomas. So I wasn't as shocked, because I've liked him when he was at Georgia, obviously covering UGA, but I wasn't shocked at all.
And I wasn't necessarily shocked from the standpoint of that I don't think that Andrew Thomas was a good player. I saw all those other guys that seemed to be mocked ahead of him. When you think about Becton, Werfs, and Wills, it seemed like the prognostications from people had those guys ranked higher. And because of that, I just don't seem to understand exactly why Andrew Thomas seemed to kind of get lost in the shuffle. But the other part that I find interesting is that something was said, and it was quoted by Ian Rappaport earlier this week, and it was somebody who was quoted by as saying, there is no year like this one where you guys are more wrong about the way that this draft is going to go when it comes to certain of these mocks and the way that those are going, because it seems like the way that this draft was going from people's perspectives is a lot different because of the fact that we did not have the extra data points like the pro days and the extra meetings that usually have taken place that we don't have because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, this is definitely was a unique situation when you have to think about it. You got to pick
up. Here is the Green Bay Packers selection as they have traded into this spot basically because of where Miami was. So Green Bay has this pick.
Let's go. The Miami Dolphins have traded the 26th pick to the Green Bay Packers. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
And that is something that I don't think we are surprised by, because this basically turns into the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, when you think about it, yeah, initially, yeah, you don't want it. You think it's definitely a guy that you kind of bring him in slowly, bring him along, let him get used to the system, because Jordan Love didn't have that great of a season this year, and obviously dealing with the injuries that he had, it's very interesting to see a team like Green Bay, because I just find it ironic, because this is pretty much the same scenario the way Aaron Rodgers came in.
Very true. You
think about Green Bay coming in, Brett Favre, the legendary, the god of quarterbacking in the NFL at the time, and you draft his understudy. And Brett Favre didn't take a like.
Although the difference from that perspective, Jarvis, is that, you know, Rodgers, as memory serves, and of course as people can remember and certainly go back to, he waited a long time to get picked. I don't know. And again, this all comes down to how teams view these guys. You know, everybody's bored, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Everybody's board seems to be different than what the group thinks seemed to be. And, you know, the other part of this that I honestly look at and I say, you know, this could be another part of the storyline that's very interesting, because we know how Brett Favre reacted to Aaron Rodgers' selection. How will Aaron Rodgers react to this selection? Will he feel kind of the breath breathing down his neck a little bit?
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of where I am. That's exactly what's on my mind when I saw this pick come across the screen. When you look at how Aaron Rodgers came in, he essentially is doing the same thing that Jordan Love is going to be trying to do. Because Jordan Love is not, you know, I would assume he's going to try to ingratiate himself with Aaron Rodgers, because obviously he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's been highly successful in the league. I just think it's a matter of, is Aaron Rodgers going to be willing to take him up under his wing, show him the ropes, and let him see what it is to be a quarterback in the NFL?
404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll take reaction from you guys all night, maybe some calls once the actual draft has completed. Ron chimes in and says, I'm glad teams have drafted players that they want instead of being concerned about where they were ranked on the draft board. The second quarterback who was taken overall, as we go back to our full breakdown of the opening round of the 2020 NFL draft brought to you by Twin Peaks, Tua Tagovailoa goes to Miami, the former Alabama quarterback who, of course, suffered that very horrific hip injury earlier this season. It doesn't seem to hurt him, Jarvis, and with all the kind of smoke that surrounded the Dolphins, possibly moving up, moving back, possibly passing on Tua, they do what many believe is the prudent thing and have the quarterback of the present and the future.
Yeah, I actually like Tua. Tua was actually my favorite quarterback out of this entire draft, even over Joe Burrow. I just like him a little bit better going into the NFL, just from a consistency standpoint. Like, we knew what Tua was as soon as he came in and won a national championship against Georgia. When he came in and did what he did, and all the way up until the injury started. You know, the injuries were his kryptonite, so to speak. But I just like his overall body of work. And I think that for him to be drafted in the top five, I love it. You know, because when you think about, okay, yeah, you gotta take injuries into consideration when you're drafting a player. You got to do that for every player. Obviously, he had more injuries than most. He had an injury that people have never really seen before that was very awkward and weird, but he was able to come back from it. The doctors, and obviously the Dolphins doctors or the neutral doctor thought he was going to be okay, and I think we should go with that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the field down in Miami, because Lord knows they have been starving for a quarterback for a very long time.
Seattle is on the clock right now with pick 27. They've got less than 3 minutes to play. It looks like they're going to make that pick at 27 as they've turned the card in. We'll have that for you here in just a second. Continuing with the early part of the first round, the LA Chargers have the quarterback of the future in Justin Herbert. Seems like that's going to be a competition this coming fall between he and Tyrod Taylor. I don't think you pick a guy there to sit in behind Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis, do you?
You know what? I know that Anthony Lynn really likes Tyrod Taylor.
And, he does.
And if you're a guy who's trying to win games, he's not necessarily going to lose you games. He's not going to turn the ball over. When you speak of Tyrod Taylor, he's never been that guy. He's always been a solid guy. But if you're trying to take it to the next level, you're trying to open up that offense, you may want to try to get Justin Herbert in there to make those big plays, to make those throws downfield when you got a guy like Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry as weapons at your disposal. So I really think that it's going to be Tyrod Taylor from the beginning. And if things start to look bleak, I wouldn't be surprised if that ownership that is bad, and I think the consensus is that San Diego Chargers ownership is very bad, I think they'll start sending messages down and jumping on Google Hangouts or sending Facebook messages to Anthony Lynn and say, hey, it's time to get our guy in. You know, we didn't take it with a number six overall pick for nothing.
Yeah, they, of course, are opening that brand-new stadium, SoFi Stadium, with the L.A. Rams this upcoming season. after, of course, playing the last couple of years in Carson, California. Inside our division, the Carolina Panthers sat at number 7, and while they weren't necessarily a trade partner rumored to be with the Falcons because there's no way they'd make that trade inside the division, many believe this could have been a place where one of the Falcons' coveted players goes. They get Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle, out of Auburn. Many thought that Kinlaw could go there. Many thought that Isaiah Simmons could go there. That is one where I think a lot of Panther fans, while he is a fantastic player, they might feel a tad mixed on that. As we wait now, Seattle's pick, with the pick being in after Seattle, Baltimore is on the clock as we await. It looks like they are waiting the opportunity to show the pick here from the Seattle Seahawks, which is their pick at number 27. It's their first pick of the opening round. As we continue here on the NFL draft coverage, brought to you by Twin Peaks. How did you feel about the Brown selection, Jarvis?
I actually like, you know, I like the pick, because when you have a quarterback that struggled, because he was under pressure at times, and sometimes he was just because he was bad in Baker Mayfield by turning the ball over. You had a guy that was at tackle last year that more than likely he's probably not going to see the light of day anytime soon. When you get caught with that amount of drugs, you can go ahead and forget about continuing your NFL career. So I think there was a kind of a hole there. Even if he was coming back, I think there's room for improvement there at that tackle position. So I wasn't shocked at all, because when you have a guy like Jedrick Wills coming from where he came from, he's a mean guy, he's a nasty guy, that kind of fits the whole dog pound situation going on up in Cleveland. I think the Cleveland was right on point, right in line with what everybody thought where they were going, and I think it was definitely filled the need for them to try to see if they can get something out of a guy like Baker Mayfield, because Lord knows that second year wasn't pretty.
Seattle's pick coming in right here, being read now by Roger Goodell, and the pick is in for them. Still kind of waiting on that, and we'll get you that here in just a moment. I didn't necessarily hate the pick. I know there were a lot of Panther fans who kind of felt somewhat jaded, because a lot of them are Carolina fans as well. And here's the pick from the Seattle Seahawks.
It's great to see our teams and stadiums helping those who need it the most in our communities. So with the 27th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Jordan Brooks, linebacker, Texas Tech.
An outside linebacker ranked as the 6th highest in that position by ESPN. And it's one where, if you look at him, he's kind of that next tier down from Murray. And I'm almost surprised here, Jarvis, that we didn't see Queen off the board instead of Brooks.
You know what? I'm shocked too, man. Because when I saw, I was actually looking at Jordan Brooks earlier, because starting to hear a little buzz about him sneaking into the first round. And when it's amazing that Seattle, one thing you can trust about them is drafting linebackers, man. When you think about all the guys that have come through the Bobby Wagners of the world, those guys are just guys you just plug and play. And you can guarantee those guys being around for at least 6-7 years, man, because I trust John Schneider and Pete Carroll when it comes to picking linebackers. And Jordan Brooks was a guy that started to get a little buzz coming into the draft as early as today. And I'm not too shocked that he actually was picked by the Seattle Seahawks, because, like I said, man, those guys, they know exactly what they're doing out there in Seattle.
I think if Arizona was sitting there at number 8, thinking that they could get Isaiah Simmons, that completely exceeded their expectations. I'll tell you why when we come back, as we continue to give you our reactions to the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft. Baltimore is on the clock. We've got about 5 picks remaining before we close out the opening round of the 2020 NFL Draft. Willie P. and Jarvis Davis here with you. It is coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft, brought to you by Twin Peaks on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app.
Let's talk football.
We're taking a look back at the first round of the draft. Back with more Will and Jarvis on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Twin Peaks is your 2020 home for the NFL season, and we are your home for the Atlanta Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Willie P. Jarvis Davis back here with you as we continue first-round coverage of the NFL draft. We're awaiting pick number 28 from the Baltimore Ravens. Before we get that in, I did tease about the Arizona pick at number 8 overall, Jarvis. Isaiah Simmons was my favorite player coming into this NFL draft just because of the variable nature of what you can do with him on defense. I think that the Cardinals are thanking their lucky stars, the fact that he fell all the way to them, because I think any of those other teams could have used him, at least outside of the ones that needed cornerback. This is one where, if you look at it, Arizona's defense gets a significant upgrade in a guy who can play at all three levels.
You know what? I really like a guy like Isaiah Simmons, because just from the athletic ability and being able to be so versatile, I think that when you have
the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is our highest honor.
Here is the commissioner.
And you, Calais, are truly a role model to all of us. And congratulations on being a Raven. With the 28th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Patrick Queen, linebacker, LSU.
And we didn't have to wait too long for Patrick Queen to come off the board, Jarvis. He goes to a team. We talked about the fact that the Seattle Seahawks know a thing about linebackers. Well, so do the Baltimore Ravens. They're not shy about what they have done with linebackers in their stead.
Yeah, man. When you look at what a guy like Patrick Queen brings to the table, and you look at the history of linebackers and guys like Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis, and the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. To be able to be a part of that and the type of aggressiveness that they play with. And I think Patrick Queen got a really good dose of playing in an aggressive type defense and being able to run around and make plays and run sideline to sideline. He's going into the same type of environment with a guy like John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh preaches that camaraderie and being aggressive and wanting to, having that want to, as my boy Hugh Douglas would say, to be able to get after it on defense.
Four picks remaining here in the opening round. Tennessee is on the clock at 29. Back up to where we were and left off our player-by-player breakdown, and we'll continue to kind of go back through all this throughout the night and also give you more reaction on the Falcons pick, which again was at number 16, taking A.J. Terrell, the former cornerback out of Clemson, the cornerback from Florida that many thought the Falcons had their eye on, C.J. Henderson. He is somebody who, in a lot of early mocks, was picked to the Falcons just because of the needed cornerback, but he's somebody who, as the combine went and as the chatter went throughout the month of March and April, he started rising up people's draft boards. People took a second look at that film, and they saw a real player. He's a top 10 pick. He goes to Jacksonville, Jarvis.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that's a good fit for Jacksonville. When you have all of the people they lost on that defensive side of the football for Jacksonville, you got to start replenishing it at some point. So I like what C.J. Henderson brings to the table. He's not the greatest tackler in the world. That's why I was kind of a little skeptical when people started trying to fit him in down with the Atlanta Falcons and the red and black. I just wasn't kind of sold on it because he doesn't fit into what Dan Quinn wants to do. And you have to be able to tackle in Dan Quinn's system, especially when you're talking about playing in that zone at cover three. Obviously, they're going to mix in a little bit more man coverage this year. And that's what C.J. Henderson does well. But I think that if you really want the perfect fit, you really want the guy that is going to be the perfect fit for your team. But him going down to Jacksonville and playing in that man coverage and that being a strong suit, I think he'll be a good fit down there in Jacksonville. But I'm a little skeptical about a guy who has issues tackling, especially when you're talking about all the dynamic wide receivers that are in the NFL today and the way the game is played.
There is one less wide receiver in that division, Jarvis. The fact that they don't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore in Houston gives him an opportunity to at least play there without that particular threat. But staying with where we were at number 10, Jedrick Wills, the tackle out of Alabama, He goes at number 10 to Cleveland with their second pick. That was a very easy to predict pick for Cleveland because of the fact that they took Joe Burrow at number one. They get an automatic, basically, cornerstone offensive lineman, someone who can protect his backside. A very easy selection for the Browns. And again, give credit to the Cleveland Browns for not screwing this up. They could have very easily screwed this up and gone somewhere completely off the board and not done the predictable thing and gone with alignment. That's the thing that I'm surprised at, Jarvis, is that, you know, the Browns did the two things that were probably the most defensible to do, although this is a franchise that has very rarely acted the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have what people thought in Baker Mayfield was the quarterback of the future. His rookie year had a solid year. And then when you come back and have the type of year that he had on last season, it started to question a little bit. Obviously, yeah. Freddie Kitchens gets fired and you're bringing in a new guy and Kevin Stefanski and everything that goes on from the top of that organization, it's just something that stinks up there. And obviously, they can't fire themselves. So they're going to continue to hire people and try to get it right. So, yeah. I mean, do you think Kevin Stefanski can be the guy to take them over the top?
It's weird because, you know, they have Odell Beckham Jr. and, like, they have Baker Mayfield. And, you know, I know I confounded the two Ohio teams there with Burrow, obviously, in Cincinnati and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. But that is something that, again, they needed offensive line help. And because of that, it seems to me that was obvious, the pick there. Same thing for the Jets with getting Mekhi Becton, the tackle out of Louisville. Those are two franchises with young quarterbacks, Mayfield in Cleveland and Darnold in New York. They get two cornerstone linemen. And if you're sitting right here now, if you're a Falcons fan, at number 12, you're thinking, oh my goodness, maybe this could actually happen and you can get somebody like a Javon Kinlaw to fall into your lap because you had what seemed to be a possible run on wide receivers. But you get one wide receiver in Henry Ruggs to Alabama, which we'll talk about in a moment. Tristan Wirfs to tackle to Iowa. And then the 49ers take Javon Kinlaw, the D-tackle out of South Carolina, in a trade back from 13. They swap picks with the Bucs. Jerry Jeudy goes to the Denver Broncos. And then A.J. Terrell, the corner, back out of Clemson, taken by Atlanta. We'll have plenty more reaction to the Falcons' number 16 overall pick. We'd love to hear from you. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, and also at Jarvis D90.
With the 29th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Isaiah Wilson, tackle, Georgia.
And the second Georgia lineman of the opening round is off the board to Tennessee, Jarvis. We had Andrew Thomas go fourth overall to the New York Giants, and there will be a dog in Nashville going down Broadway to the Tennessee Titans. Isaiah Wilson is somebody who I think many people thought could have possibly been a guy maybe on the Falcons board. Him and Solomon Kinley both looked possibly in the way of the Falcons, but Isaiah Wilson goes to the Titans, and again, another offensive lineman is off the board.
Yeah, man, when you lose a guy like Jack Conklin, like he lost in free agency, you have to replace that guy. You have to replace the guy that was a cornerstone, a guy who went out and got paid. A guy, if he went out and got paid like he did, like Jack Conklin did, going to the Cleveland Browns in free agency, you have to replace it. You cannot, especially in the offense that the Tennessee Titans want to run. When you have that big boy in the backfield, you gotta be able to have somebody that's going to block for him. And Isaiah Wilson is a mountain of a man. I'm sitting here watching him as they're going through the highlights and everything. And when you think about the size of this guy, I remember when they first recruited him at Georgia, and everybody was up in arms like, oh, my God, they got this guy. And when you take a look at him, he just commands a room. he takes over. Like, your eyes are going to go to him once he walks in the room. And when you have a guy like that that's light on his feet and they can move a little bit, sometimes he can have a little issues with the inside move to be able to get that power foot to come step down and cut that guy off.
Yeah, he's somebody with, when you have 6'6", 350, that's something you can't teach. And obviously, you know, we had on the midday show with Andy and Randy, of course, Randy's former teammate, George Foster, the former Georgia offensive lineman, who was somebody who was picked number 20 overall in the NFL draft. And, you know, when you look at that and when you look at the way that that this draft looked, he said earlier today that it would be, quote, dope if they had two Georgia linemen go in the opening pair of the NFL draft. And they do get two Georgia offensive linemen in the opening round. He goes number 29 overall to Tennessee. You said it right there. Having Derrick Henry in that backfield, you need somebody who he can run behind. And Isaiah Wilson certainly fits the bill. I want to go back to what we were talking about when it comes to teams taking their type. I think you can't look further than number 12. With the Las Vegas Raiders taking Henry Ruggs. That is a type pick if I've ever seen one. They take a track athlete. This is not an insult to Henry Ruggs, but they've always been a team, the Oakland Raiders. When you think about, you know, Darius Hayward Bay and even some of the old Al Davis picks, they like guys who can take the top off the defense, not necessarily the most skilled wide receivers. Not to say, again, that Ruggs doesn't have the skill. It's just if you were looking at the first wide receiver coming off the board, I don't think anybody had Ruggs pegged at that spot.
Yeah, man, it's hard not to fall in love with that speed. It's the speed, man. It's like just so hard not to fall in love with it. Like coming out of the combine, Henry Ruggs, he made himself some money. He went up there and did his thing on that 40-yard dash, which a lot of people put a lot of stock in. They kind of forget about the film. But Henry Ruggs is a guy that you can go watch the film and say, okay, yeah, this guy is super fast. And he can really break a defense wide open running down the field. And another thing that I think is going to be really crucial for him is because Ruggs was working out with Randy Moss. And Randy Moss is a guy that came in the league and just took over. Randy Moss changed coverages. He made defense coordinators go back to the drawing board. And Henry Ruggs is that type of guy. Let me make sure I slow that down when I say he's that type of guy. He's not that guy because
I'm not going to do that.
I say he's that type of guy. So when you look at what the Raiders, like you said, the Raiders and the history and them falling in love with those freakish athletes, I think they're right in line with when we talk about fit and what fits best for a team. CeeDee Lamb is not that type of guy. He has decent speed, but speed is not his best attribute. And we all know that the Raiders love speed. And I think that this is going to be a guy that is going to make some noise, man, because we all know what he did to SEC defenses. And I think that SEC defenses are probably about the closest you can get to the NFL. So, I think that the Raiders might be onto something when you get a guy like Henry Ruggs in the building.
I know that one thing that I was doing when I was watching the draft play out around the 12, 13, 14, 15 spot, my heart rate was going crazy. And we're going to chronicle kind of how things played out from Tampa Bay and San Francisco swapping picks to some of the inner workings of what the Falcons were doing. Of course, the Falcons take A.J. Terrell. They stay at 16. After all of that particular talk about them possibly moving up, there was some talk about them possibly moving down after they don't get Javon Kinlaw where the Niners were at 14. But they do stay at 16. They have two more picks as it sits right now in tomorrow's portion of the draft. The second and third round will outline what they might be looking at as those picks come about here tomorrow. And we'll continue to break down the first round of the NFL draft. We're waiting for the draft to conclude for us to hear from you, 404-741-0929 on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line and on the phones. Along with Jarvis Davis, I'm Will Pelagic. You're listening to the 2020 NFL Draft on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app presented by Twin Peaks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.